Hello and welcome back to Ola Bonjour Konnichiwa, the podcast with myself, Lorna, and herself, Audrey. How are you, Audrey? How was your week?
It was not bad. It wasn't great either.
Okay.
It was just a week. It was a week where that was a ruin, I think, over a couple of weeks. Because even I've noticed every week we have this little chat, we kick off with, how are you getting on with the walking and the healthy eating? And I'm kind of saying less and less because I was like, I haven't really done any walking. The eating is... Okay, certainly could be a lot better, could be a lot worse. Was a lot worse. I do think some habits have changed, but I'm not here to talk about that now. But anyway, yeah, just I find I'm generally very positive, optimistic person, always hopeful, all that kind of jazz. Every now and then, it doesn't happen too often, thankfully, but I'll get a bit of the why, you know, the why me, why us, why does it have to be this difficult? Why are things so complicated? Why does it have to be so hard? Why did X, Y, and Z happen to us? And then the worst thing you can do is start getting into comparisons. Why did X, Y, and Z have to happen to us when so-and-so seems to have it so easy? So-and-so just got married and had children and nobody died and everything was fine and there's no health scares. And well, we'll start by saying, as we all know, no one has a clue what's going on in somebody else's life. Just because things might look rosy on the surface, who knows? And they may be having it. There might be someone out there having actually the picture perfect life, but you don't know. So you shouldn't assume. But comparison, I do agree, is the thief of joy. So getting into that, why us and why not them? And not that you'd ever wish badness on anybody else, I suppose. But yeah, there's nothing to be gained by going down the road of the why me, why us. It's not fair.
But it's normal too, though, Audrey. It is normal to have those feelings as well. Because like when you think of it, you've gone through, a ferocious amount. I mean, you're only a young one. You're younger than me. You're not even 40. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've gone through an awful lot. So I think you have to, and it's all been very recent as well. Do you know what I mean? So of course you're going to be having these feelings. It's completely normal. I would say you'd be abnormal if you didn't feel like that. And of course, like, I know myself as well, sometimes it's very hard when you see friends and people and, you know, everyone getting pregnant. Like, it's not, of course you're delighted for them, but there's still a little tug at the heart. Like, it's tough going, like, you know what I mean? And obviously that's only just my side of things, but you've been through a lot more. So I think it's completely normal to feel like that. And like, everyone has days when they're down and stuff like that, but you have a great kind of motto of, trying to, you know, on the third day you rose
on
again.
On the third
it?
Day she rose again. Yeah. So I find, I think occasionally it's all right to indulge those kind of feelings, because it'd be weird if I didn't think that way. I mean, we have had an awful run of like knock and tragedy and all the rest, like kind of heartache and worry and panic and all that kind of stuff along the way. And I know a lot of families are the same. Jesus, I mean, I don't go a week without having a conversation with someone on Instagram that's going through or has been continuously going through an awful time. So there's an awful lot of people out there, aside from myself, that are going through difficulties. As much as I acknowledge that, on a bad day, on a day when you're just too tired to drum up the positivity or to drum up the optimism or to drum up the glass half full mentality, on a bad day, I don't give a shit about what anybody else is going through.
Brutal
I don't
honesty.
Care. Like, on a bad day, I don't care. Like, and it's not helpful for me to know that somebody else may be worse off than I am on a bad day. On a bad day, knowing that somebody else is also devastated and upset and heartbroken, that doesn't help me. I know there's always that saying, and particularly it's an Irish thing of like, Jesus, sure, you could be a lot worse off, or there's people out there a lot worse off than you. I know. And that's and then the guilt comes in, because I know that. I know. And even when you look at the cancer story, and I'm like, well, I'm here out the other side, fighting fit. I have my life. I have my future. I have my son and my husband and my home. And I know, and on a good day, I can acknowledge all of that and be so grateful. But on a bad day, I'm like, but why did it have to be so difficult? Why does it have to be so complicated? So look, I find if you're tired, for a start, if you're exhausted, your thoughts, do you find, I don't know, if I'm really tired, my thoughts become more negative as well. It's almost like I literally don't have the reserve.
You don't have the energy,
to push down negative thoughts and to rise above them. Anyway.
But Audrey, for what you went through as well, like, surely there's some bit of like PTSD as well, like, after going through such a such a huge thing. Like, and like, did you, I presume you got counselling and all that, like after all that?
I did a little bit of counselling with the Irish Cancer Society. I got 6 sessions, and if I remember correctly, I think I did 3 before I went in for the operation, and I think I may have done 3 after the operation, and they were fantastic.
Yeah.
I find like I am definitely a slow burner. Like it takes me a while to actually process.
Warm up to someone, like.
Or not even that. No, like to process what's gone on.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I told you, like it was a few years after my dad died before it actually properly hit me.
Yeah.
And here we are now, we're a few years out from all of that stuff. And I think some of it's only kind of
hitting you now.
Sinking in now, honestly. Like, yeah. And I get really angry now, and I'm not really an angry person, but like I'm getting very angry, and I'm angry about an awful lot of stuff. And I am angry about, I come out of that operation, and for those that don't know, and I think most people that listen to the show do know, I had to go in and have a radical hysterectomy. Totally did not want to have that, but at the time it was considered what was necessary to give me the best chance of not having terminal cancer, not having invasive cancer, or of having a future and all the rest. So really I didn't have much of a choice.
Yeah.
Although they would let the hospital will tell you that it was ultimately your choice to go ahead with the operation. There wasn't any other options on the table. It was have it or don't have it. There was no other choice.
There's no, yeah. Yeah,
you
no
have it anyhow. They call you back in when they have the results. I can't remember what the word for that is called. But anyway, when they have the results from they take your bits and pieces away and they look at them under a microscope and they call you back in to give you the results, and they call you back in, and it's a big yay for me. Thank God it was a big yay, and we're delighted now and no further treatment required. And they are words that you just want to hear. And then you're kind of dropped off a hill, to be honest. Then they're kind of like, our job here is done. Off you go.
Yeah, you touched on that last week. There's not a whole lot of aftercare, you know. And I think this is what's kind of getting to you now, because now
I think it is. Yeah.
And I think, you know, after it, and in fairness to you, you went on Instagram and told your story, which, my God, hats off to you for that, because I actually think that was so courageous to do that. And I've no doubt that you helped so many. And you know yourself you did, because of messages you would have received and everything. But like, it's nearly probably like a not a relief, but you know, it is a relief, I suppose, getting it out and telling people. But then after, when time goes by and you start to think back on, like, Jesus, did I really go through all that? Like, and then now you're going, I mean, Jesus, I did go through all that. Where's the aftercare? Like, where was the help for after it? What happens 2, 3, 4 years down the line after it? Like, you literally feel like you were just, you know, sliced open and gone away now. Good luck.
Yeah, we did our job. Our job here is done. Off you go now. Figure the rest out for yourself. And all you're figuring out for yourself in the initial months is just basically physical recovery. And you're so grateful for your life. And I still am. That you almost feel like it would be wrong to be resentful or to be angry. Like, this, I don't know, is it Catholic guilt? Is it just Irish guilt? Is it just guilt? But you're like, you feel bad about even daring to consider that there should be more. There should be more of a holistic approach. There should be more of an aftercare. There should be more of a referral system. There should be more of an information session before you even went through the procedure. Instead, and I understand, because they would argue that the little egg timer was tipping away there, and it was all in a hurry. But it's in such a hurry that you're never really educated on what this is going to mean for you. It's just, we need to do this. We need to do, and we do it now. And now it's up to you to go Google and talk to people and figure it out online and make internet friends. And like, it's just crazy. I'm getting more annoyed about it with the more time that's gone on, because I think I've got more time to actually process how crazy it all was. And so even now, even learning there with my bloods and hormone levels and all the rest, and I'm kind of like, this is actually crazy. I wasn't even so much as handed a pamphlet. Like, I didn't even get a little booklet. Like, you're just kind of,
it is crazy though. It is absolutely crazy. And is there anywhere? Is there? Like, I'm sure you've done all the research. Like, there's nowhere that you should be referred to or anything, and it just didn't happen, is it? Or is it that there is nowhere that you're referred to?
There's no link up.
There's no link up. Yeah. It's case of you go away and find it yourself. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. So if you go away and you maybe go onto forums, or if you're happy to do what I'm doing now, which is, it's awful, because in one way you want to be private because we're Irish. And so, you know, your mammy will always tell you, don't be discussing all your business. And I have a bit of that. So one breath you're like, well, I don't really want to be telling everybody all my business. But on the other hand, if you don't actually come on here and talk about these things publicly, this is where you'll find those people, those special people that will hear your story and say, hey, that happened to me and I went here. Hey, My sister was in the same situation, and she's gone to this place, or she's, and only for talking about it. And this is why, as much as sometimes I wish I could be private and I wish I could take it all back, look, in talking about it, it has given me connections, and hopefully it, anyone that's listening to this that maybe is intensely private, they may hear something that will help them, or direct them, or point, you know, point them in the right direction. But sorry, I suppose it's all a culmination of all of this. I think talking about it more is actually triggering more things in my brain now that my brain has had time to process, and I'm going, that can't be right. That's like, I get more angry about it. I'm getting more resentful.
I'd say because
about it.
Life has kind of settled to a point. You know, you went like a huge, huge thing, Audrey. It's like you can't even minimize that huge thing. And like, life has settled down. Now, Hugh is kind of settled. He's in school, or Montessori is near the creche. He's in school. Yeah. You're back at work. Everything is kind of, I suppose, leveled out a bit. And then when life is kind of going okay, you're kind of going, you know, what's my next step here now in life? Like, and then you're going, Jesus, like, even with things like fertility and stuff like that, you know what I mean? You were literally, well, nothing. Good luck to you. And like, that was, it's an absolute disgrace.
Just as you mentioned that, okay, so when I go back to 2017, had a miscarriage. Oh, we just diagnosed you with CGIN. We're going to have a let's. That didn't treat me. We had another let's. That didn't treat me. Now everybody's talking about hysterectomies. We're in 2018 at this point. Everybody was just saying, look, you know, we suggest that you go off and do some fertility preservation. Sorry, what's that? Oh, well, that's where you'll do an egg retrieval and we'll take your husband's sperm and we'll make these embryos. Oh, Jesus, that sounds like quite a big deal. Well, in the grand scheme of things, you know, we think it might be just a safety net for yourself because you don't know how this is going to go in the future. Just to have them there in the freezer. Right, okay. And then what will I do with them?
Well, come here, always, just to have like, them there in the freezer as if a thing of nothing. That is a huge thing be telling you to go away and do. Huge.
They all said, and this is two different hospitals, well, there's always surrogacy, you know, surrogacy is an option. And I remember at the time going, oh, well, I hope it doesn't come to that. But okay, surrogacy.
And not that easy either.
They throw it out because it's always this thing of pass the buck. We're going to fix the one problem that we are hired to fix, and whether that's cervical cells, whether that's whatever it is, and then we're going to just you need to figure out your next move. So we're going to say surrogacy is the solution. We're not going to explain to you that there's no legislation for surrogacy in Ireland. Mm. We're not going to explain to you what, because I remember the time, I know a bit more now obviously, but I knew nothing of the time. So when they're saying, oh, even if the worst comes to worse, you'll have your embryos on ice and you can always go away and do surrogacy, not explaining that this will cost you upwards of 70, 80, 90, 100, 150,000 euro, 200,000 euro, depending on where you go to do surrogacy. Oh, yeah, I know. If you go to the United States to do surrogacy, you're talking about 150,000 euro.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious. If you're doing surrogacy in the Ukraine or elsewhere, it may be that initially you look and you see that it might cost 50, 60,000 euro, but that's not including all of the legal will then have. So when they just throw this out there and they say, oh, just fertility preservation, embryos on ice, there's always surrogacy. Surrogacy is an option. With nothing. And you're young and you're naive and you're just going, oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
But not. So it's always just like, because ultimately that won't be our problem. We're just going to cure the bit that we're here to cure. Yeah. We're not going to refer you really anywhere else. That's for you to figure out the next step. But we're going to sell it to you as a possible solution to all your problems. And really, that's for future you to figure out. That's not our problem to assist you with. That's not for us, you know, to provide you on any kind of information or guidelines. We'll just tell you that it exists. And then off you pop. And this is how it constantly feels, like a conveyor belt of, we'll bring you to this point and then we'll drop you off the edge of the cliff and you need to go figure out your next move all by yourself. And it feels like I've been on that kind of cycle of activity from 2017, at least, of, we're here to fix this problem and then you're someone else's problem. We're here to fix this and then you'll be someone else's problem. And I don't want to give out because my doctors who cared for me and brought me through that whole process, I'm very fond of them, but there is no denying that once we got out the other side and once they said no further treatment required, it was good luck, goodbye, and best off you go. So I don't know. I've had more and more time to process all of this, as you're right, as maybe life is settling down a little bit and I'm just getting more and more angry. And for the last few weeks, I think I was really kind of going into a space that is not good. It's not healthy for you anyway. Ultimately, it's not a good place. It affects you in all manner of things. No walking, bad mood,
yeah,
generally just negative kind of demeanor, which doesn't sit right with me. Being resentful, being jealous of other people who, in my opinion, don't seem to have it so difficult. Just that no energy, genuinely no energy. I was actually exhausted. And then, like, just even food wise, then I am a comfort eater, no matter what. Body Slims has been brilliant, and it certainly helped to. I'm nowhere near as bad as I would have been before, but that doesn't mean I didn't see a few bad habits sneak in.
I feel sorry for me.
I wouldn't be a drinker, really. So when I feel sorry for myself, what am I going to do? I'm going to open up the feckin' share bag of M&Ms, because it's very hard. Old habits die hard. And
that's listen, 100%. Like, we've all done that. Like, we've all done that, and we all still do it. I'm a total emotional eater as well. Total. It's the first thing I do if anything goes wrong. Like, but it's would you consider even going to counselling again, or is that something that you?
I'm not against counselling. No, I'm not against it. I am a bullshitter. Like, I do find that I went to counselling years ago, and it was to discuss a particular thing. I'm going back now 10 years ago. And I knew that they would want to talk about a particular thing. And I went in there almost like with this goal to absolutely avoid talking about a particular thing. And I would come out and really clap on myself on the back if I got through a full hour.
Yeah.
Talking about literally anything else. I would talk about work. I would talk about all sorts of other things. And when I'd come out, we hadn't addressed the issue. I'd be like, So I'm a bit.
And I think as well with counselors, you need to find the right one as well. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, I say it as it is, right? Some of them can be a bit airy, you know, airy fairy, bit either, like, come on
touchy
in here.
Feely,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, no, not that at all. Like I told you about the time I went to a counselor one time, and like she's oh my God, I'll never forget it. She actually got me to breathe in and then do this as you're breathing out. And I was like, sorry? And I was actually bawling in there. So I was like, what? And she was like, breathe in. And I remember going, this one is fuck. I had to do it, like, because I was in the room and I was after paying the €80. Like, but I came out going, not going back there at all. Like,
video it so you could show your husband when you got home. Wait till I show you what happened.
But you know what? Funnily enough, though, after it, I remember walking out and I was like, Jesus, I'm not doing that anymore. But when I sat in the car, I went, Jesus, I actually feel great after that.
You felt a bit lighter, yeah. It worked. But what I do have, yeah, on the third day, she rose again. So I will say that the feeling was probably festering for longer than 3 days, but I was fully cognizant of it. I had had two particularly low mood, pissed off, no energy days. And I said no. So I did share this on my Instagram the other day. This is something I genuinely do. And what I'm hoping that it might help somebody with here is, it's just like my little toolbox. It's just a few little techniques that help me. It's not going to solve all your problems. It won't undo all your traumas, but sometimes it can just help to break you out of a funk. That's all. That's where it might help you. And the first thing first is that you need to want to do that. You need to actually want to shake it off and start again, because it can be, you can sometimes find that you indulge the negative feelings and you lie into it. And personally, nothing good ever comes from that for me. I know how it happens, but for me, I need to shake it off, because it's not productive, it's not constructive, it's not helpful. So you need to want to draw a line under it. So that's the first thing you need to do, is make a decision. No, enough of this now, enough is enough. Secondly, and this is what I would often do, is literally take pen to paper and just write down every single thing that I would be grateful for, big and small. And it could be anything. It could be your home, your husband, your child. I mean, they're obviously big things. It could be small little things. It could be that, you know, your proximity to your workplace. I love that I live 10 minutes from where I work. I mean, big things, small things, all things. Because one thing when you're writing your list of all the little things and all the big things that you're grateful for, you can't help but feel your mood slightly shift to a little bit more positive.
And that's a good idea to say, right? Because it's one thing when you're in the mood like that. The last thing I would think about doing is getting a pen and piece of paper and writing down what I'm grateful for, because you're in such a funk that you're like,
yeah, I know.
I'm grateful for fuck all, really. Do you know you are like that? Like,
yeah.
That's a very good thing, because when you see something written down on paper,
And I would often, if anyone ever finds my little notebooks from work, it'd be like, work notes, you know, meeting, blah, 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 call, such and such, next page. I always write thank you. So I always say thank you. So it'll be like, thank you for my son, thank you for my health, thank you for, and I'll start like I don't have any rhyme or reason. It doesn't come in any particular order, because it could be like, thank you for my health, and then it'd be like, thank you for my car, thank you for that jacket that I got in Zara the other day for 20 euro. Like, it can be anything. It can be big, small, whatever. I start just writing the stuff down as it comes to me, because it might be slow coming to you initially, and then you'll find that they'll, it's like you unlock a dam or something, like you've unlocked the dam and they'll come to you a bit faster. So I would say that's the first thing. Write down all the stuff that you're grateful for. The next page that I would often have that helps me would be opportunities. So I'd often write down then any opportunities. So list any opportunities that are available to you. So listing your potential. That could be anything. It could be like a summer holiday, a weekend away, or it could be a work thing, or like the way we're doing this, it could be like, I'm going to go to an event, or I'm going to, I don't know, build my following, or work harder on the podcast, or it could be anything. To be individual to the particular person. So here I have
to try and push yourself a little bit as well.
Push yourself,
just give you the oomph to get up and go, like.
A reason, because sometimes you need a project. Personally, sometimes you need a project to distract you or to focus on, or just to focus your energy on something other than those negative feelings. So I would often list out, maybe it could be ability to earn more, an ability to travel, an ability to grow, whether that be education or a course or something like that. An ability to experience something more. So like we said recently, we're going to start saying yes to things. So when the invitation comes in, say yes, you know. So I said, list anything that excites you, anything that's of interest and benefit to you that is within your reach with a little bit of effort.
Yeah.
You know, so it does require a little bit of work from you. Following that, wash your face, go brush your hair back up off your face, and then pick one of those things on your list and take your pen back to paper and start just making a plan. So just pick one of those things and be like, right, how can I do this? And whether it's a holiday, whether it's whatever the case may be, a course, I want to go back to college and educate myself again. My last master's, I graduated in 2017. It was in social media communications. We're in 2023. The social media world has already completely changed. I would argue that that master's is almost defunct at this stage. So already I'm like, right, you're going to have to go and refresh your qualifications. Like, maybe have a look. Do you want to do a master's? Do you want to just do day courses? Do you want to do a little diploma or a certificate? Like, so even that, I would list all
that's
those
something
things
to look forward to, though, and something to plan, isn't it? That's good.
And then just to focus your energy and your thoughts and your attention elsewhere. And then finally, the last thing I would do is always acknowledge life isn't, it isn't always easy, and it's certainly not always fair.
Yeah,
that goes for everybody. There's nobody, as much as they may look on the outside to be living a privileged life, we really don't know what's going on.
Everybody has something. You know, sure, we've said this numerous times, even on Instagram. You'd be looking at people on Instagram, it's very easy to go, oh, look at her, like, she hasn't a care in the world, blah blah blah. They could have a terrible home life or something that you just don't see. You have no idea whatsoever. That's why I know you just have to be, you know, I know it's thrown around an awful lot, but be kind to everyone, because you don't know what's going on.
You just don't know. Exactly. Yeah. Next thing would be, you are much stronger than you realize. Certainly you have, and I know I have, come true more than if you told me 10 years ago, oh, by the way, in the next 10 years, this isn't going to happen. You'd say, oh, I couldn't possibly, I won't cope. I won't be able for that. You are able for it. I don't know. There's a strength in all of us that we don't even know exists until it's put to the test. So
there is, because I mean, for your situation and stuff that I've gone through, there's no other choice. Like, you don't, what else can you do?
No. But if someone told you this is going to happen, you'd say, oh, I couldn't possibly.
Someone said to me, and it was actually my GP a while back, and she had said something about, because, you know, I've said before, I've had 10 miscarriages now, and I think I was going in, and I'm a right one for kind of, not like pretending it didn't happen, like, but kind of going, all right, well, that happened, now I have to move on, blah, blah, blah. But she actually said to me, she goes, if you stop and think about it, if your friend came up and told you, like, that's just one part of my life, like, geez, there's other stuff that I would never say online and all the rest, right? That's just one thing. That I've had far more bigger things. And what happens with me is that everything seems to happen together at the same time. And the GP actually asked me, she goes, if your friend came up and said, this has happened, you'd go, oh my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God. But because, and I don't know, is it because we're like typical Irish mammies? We're like, ah, sure, we're grand. Ah, sure, we're grand. We'll just get on with things like that now. But what other choice do you have?
There's
to,
a
like,
truth in it at the same time.
There
you
is
know,
a
like, I
truth
don't
in it,
know, you're
because what
probably
can I
very
do?
similar. My mum was always about one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's another day, you know, and we'd always get to, not now, but at times, particularly difficult times, you'd get to 9, 10 o'clock and that's another day done. And it'd
Yeah.
be like, let's acknowledge that we've all successfully come through another day and that's another day done, and
Oh,
tomorrow's
I don't
a new
like, I don't plan
when we
ahead,
start
way
again.
ahead. No, I never
Yeah.
plan way ahead anymore. Like, I wouldn't, like, obviously for my holidays and stuff, like, I book, you know, things like
Yeah,
that. But
yeah.
like, I don't, I literally go week by week, say. Like, I
Yeah.
don't kind of even, I wouldn't even look as far as Christmas now. We'll see what happens as we're getting there. Do you know what I
I
mean?
know. There's
It's
people that I
gas.
work with yesterday and they were talking about budgeting. Jokes. I don't know that I've ever budgeted in my life. And they're all different ages, all the women that were there, they're talking. And I was listening to this whole conversation and I was like, something must be wrong with me. One was saying they have that credit union budgeting plan, you know,
Yeah.
I think you put into it and then, like, I don't even know how it works. I was just like, oh God. And I actually was starting to nearly hyperventilate at the end of the conversation because I'm so bad. And I was like, I just kind of always assumed that all of this, everything you're talking about there, that's future Audrey's problem.
That's for older people. Like,
I was
yeah,
like,
I'm
not
like,
for me.
no, it's for you. Like, I'm the same.
Oh
Haven't a
God, yeah.
clue. No,
I
I
turned
don't know
Dave
how
and I
I'm
was like,
surviving this long, like, to be honest.
I
Just
don't
even
know,
like having
yeah.
a mortgage and stuff like that. Like, in my head, I know I joke about being 23 and a half. I
Oh, I'm
don't
there with
feel
you.
grown up, like, at all.
Yeah.
I do
And when
not
you
feel
hear
the
other
age I
people
am.
having adult conversations, you're kind of like,
Yeah.
what am I not doing? Like, I'd
Yeah.
have to check with Dave, like, oh, should we be doing other things? Oh, like grown-up-y
Yeah.
things. Like, should we be? They were talking about college, like college funds and everything. I was like, oh, I was just going to get a credit union loan out in like 20 years' time.
Yeah.
Safe.
What, like?
Sorry, back to the list while we're trying to be motivational.
Oh.
You are much stronger than you realize, and it'll unfortunately only be when you're put to the test that you'll realize quite how strong you are. You're more resilient than you realize. You are incredibly capable. You are a force to be reckoned with. You have huge potential. You have ability. You are determined, and whatever it is, you can do it, and you will come through it. And there will be brighter days ahead. And I don't say that facetiously. I say that because it's all actually true. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that. Whatever it is in the here and now, that, you know, this too shall pass. I love that
Yeah.
phrase. Whatever it is, this too shall pass. And I remember hearing it particularly, like, you know, when Hugh was a little baby and you were absolutely exhausted because you were on no sleep and he was crying and you didn't understand. And I remember someone saying to me, this too shall pass. Like, you know, it won't always be like this. And in the blink of an eye, you've come through that stage and you're,
Yeah.
you
And
know,
you're
like,
merely
and
wishing for the time to rewind, aren't you?
to go back. So,
Yeah.
whatever it is. No matter how deep, how dark, or otherwise, this too shall pass. There are brighter days ahead. It's why I
Yeah.
like to have a bit of a plan, you know, or just focus my attention on projects and stuff like that. But look, I'm sorry I took up so much of the talking time there, but
No, listen, that's important as well to talk about this as well, because, you know, as you say, it's not all feckin' love and bubbles, like, do you know what I mean? It's real life as well. So it's
yeah, and like,
important to have these chats as well. And you don't know, Audrey, people could get in contact with you now and say, as you were saying earlier, they might say, oh, look, when I went through this, this is where I went, blah, blah, blah. And it could be something that you don't know about, or you might have information for someone that will get in contact with you. So it is
yeah.
good, like, it is good to share these things.
Ah, right, deep breath. Let's move
Deep breath.
on.
Right. What about the poor owl on?
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Come here. What about the poor owl on the Late Show? Made
Oh,
redundant.
now,
Come here, isn't that
poverty gate.
ridiculous, right? Now, it started off with the logo being changed, right? Which is disgusting, by the way. I don't like it. And
No,
then it was
neither do
on.
I.
Oh, it's very kind of Batman, isn't it? I don't like it.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the owl. I'm joking about the owl, but I'm actually shocked about the owl. The owl has been there since the start, like.
I at least thought they may have modernized it, but still
Yeah.
included it so that it was the one continuous little
Yeah.
icon or something that
Now,
was
I
there,
fully
no?
expect them as well. They'll probably change the tune to the show,
Oh
I
my
would say. Well,
God.
if they're going to change that, like,
If
if
they
they're going to
changed
change
all
everything
of
else.
this.
And what I thought was so petty was
Yeah.
them deleting everything off their Instagram page.
It was like a bad
Wasn't
breakup
it?
between two teenagers.
Like,
Like, it
whatever
was.
about Ryan Tuberty, right? But we were only talking about this before we came on. But there's clips on that Instagram page of the likes of Vicky Phelan,
Lindsay
Sinead O'Connor
Bennett,
when she was on it, all these
Sinead, yeah.
huge people that people could go back and look at and stuff, and just gone. I think there's nothing. What's on the Instagram page? Oh, I literally think it's a picture of Patrick
There's two
Hilty.
posts and that's it. Like, even Laura Brennan, like, you know, like people that I'm thinking particularly around the area of cervical cancer, but like people that made such a huge impact and all their stories were saved down there, all those little sound bites, those little video clips, you know, all to delete all of that. You're not just deleting Ryan Turberty, you've just deleted people's easy access to all of that back catalogue of hugely moving and iconic moments, you know, moments that live on in my brain. When I went, oh God, this is such a podcast all about me. But when I went in for that first MRI back in April 2018, when I got home from the hospital, Vicky Phelan was stood on the steps. She then appeared on the Late Late Show. All that happened within a week, I remember. Yeah. When I had to go in for the CT scan, not understanding how significant, what did that even mean? That was early 2021. I came home, put on the TV, Lindsay Bennett is on the Late Late Show being interviewed by Ryan, and she's talking about, oh, I knew when I had to go for the CT scan that it was serious. Like when I say there are stories there that educated and genuinely informed and enlightened and moved people, and to delete all of that is in such bad.
Isn't it crazy? Like it's absolutely crazy. But the thing is then, right, their Facebook page, the videos and everything are still on their Facebook page. It seems
still
to be
on
just
Twitter
their
as well. I checked on Twitter too. Like,
well,
but I mean,
they have a lot of followers on Facebook as well. I think they have 371,000 followers on Facebook. So if you deleted everything off Facebook, would you lose a lot of followers?
I don't know. I think they could have just built up, if they were looking to even push Ryan further down the timeline to give Patrick a nice clean slate, they could have just spent the next few weeks populating new content, you know, like, and just filling up a new grid. You didn't have to undo and delete all of
everything. I thought it was so petty, but they're changing up everything. Apparently now there's going to be no music on the show either. Do you know where the bands come on and stuff? Yeah, apparently that's going to be gone as well. Like, so it's kind of, and the show is going to be shorter. I think it's finished at 11 o'clock at night now instead of 11:45 or whatever time it goes on.
What about the saddos like me that literally don't go? I'd be looking forward to the show on a Friday. I too.
See?
I'd be like, Grant, Hugh's going to go to bed and then we're just going to sit down there and watch the Late Late Show. And I loved, not now, Twitter has kind of changed, but I used to love an hour live tweet. So I'd often be watching and tweeting at the same time. Do you ever do that?
No, live I'm tweet? Not on Twitter at all. I have a Twitter account, but I just don't use it. And Twitter is called X now, isn't it? Yeah, or something that Elon Musk would take away.
It's still on twitter.com, but I do know it has X there. So but I used to look at a live tweet of the Late Late Show. It was great, but I don't know. I think it was just really, really distasteful. Actually, Sheila Shoiga called them out on it immediately. And I seen an article about her covered then. And normally, Jesus, on Facebook, they hate to see a woman being quoted in any capacity whatsoever. Oh, she always had to have something to say. But actually, on this occasion, the comment section was like, I'm inclined to agree. It was
so petty. So petty.
Pump that out like that.
And then, of course, obviously the news that Ryan isn't going to be going back to RTE as well.
I was really hopeful. I genuinely was hopeful that he would.
I couldn't see how he could go back. I didn't see why he would want to go back himself, to be honest, after the way he was treated.
I think the only reason he would want to go back, and I don't care, I know people are of different opinions on this, but I personally maintain that he did nothing wrong, and he himself maintains that he did nothing wrong. So for no other reason, I could understand that he would want to go back purely to be like, I'm here because I did nothing wrong. So I don't know what really pissed me off during the week, actually, everything. But aside from that, you seen all the Bank of Ireland madness where people were getting
free money.
I'm in so many Facebook groups online and I don't participate. I'm a spectator only. And there were so many people racing down to the ATM to pull their money out of the bank and transferring themselves money to Revolut accounts and all sorts of stupid carry on. And those were the same people when it was announced that Ryan wasn't going to be brought on. They were like, good enough from you know, like he's a criminal and he's this, that and the other. And I'm like, hello.
But I wonder what's going to happen there now. Do they have to pay back the money or what? Or because it was Bank of Ireland's mistake.
Bank of Ireland, apparently a lot of people then, it's actually a bit mad. Like, so some people that didn't do anything wrong all were put into overdrafts. Bank of Ireland just seems to be up the wall with technical issues, and they have
to
pay back
technical issues now. And do you know what, here's like conspiracy theorists now coming out with me. Everything now is trying to get us all to be a cashless society.
I know,
right?
These
glitches, you know, is it going to turn into, now look, we've taken the decision not to have any cash anywhere. Like, I went into the bank the other day, right? And it was something so stupid. I actually forgot my bank card. So I wanted to withdraw cash, right? So I had my Bic and my IBAN on my app and everything. So I went, you know, the old fashioned way, go in and you fill out the docket, right? And I walked into the bank and they were like, oh no, sorry, it's closed. I was like, no, the bank is open until 5 o'clock. No, we don't put the cash desk closes at 3 o'clock. And I was like, what? I was like, but like, can I not just take money out? No, sorry, it's only the self scan or the self service machines. And I was actually like, going, fair enough. Like, I know what
you've
I did. I just
money
forgot my card and I can't get it. Like,
yeah.
But if I was an older person now coming in,
yeah,
like, what do they do if they can't use these machines? Like, I mean, I think the world has gone bloody mad. Like,
what?
Like, you have to take cash.
They say, and I hate when the conspiracy theorists, but I don't know. I was reading all about this. It was on the same threads about Bank of Ireland and all the rest. And it was said like that they would prefer a cashless society so that your every spend and every transaction can be digitally monitored and there will be no secrets. And it means also for anyone, whatever, people doing an Ixer here or there, you won't be possible because there will be a digital like.
There'll be a digital tracking on you. And then what eventually they'll bring in is like your credit score or your like a kind of not a credit score, but you know, like they'll track all your banking stuff. And if you have kind of a shitty score, so what I mean now, if they look at your bank and you're spending feckin' tappity tap on McDonald's 3 times a week, do you know what I mean?
They're just assuming my manic. There she goes, Zara again. Off she is, off in ASOS. Where's she going? She going nowhere.
It, like, right? I don't know. Like, your money is your own. You're going out to work to do what you want. Like, if I want to blow it all on Sheen, I can blow it all on Sheen. That's
but
what
I think the credit rating part is only part of it. I think they want to remove the opportunity for people to earn under the table.
I think
there'll be no more like someone coming over to your hair to wash and blow dry, here's 20 euro. Not that I would ever do that, but I'm just saying.
No, but you know what? It's very very untrusting in the first place.
It's very big brother.
Very
I don't know
whether
we push it against it, because I would be one for convenience sake. I've kind of accidentally fallen into the, oh, I never have any cash. I always just tap. I always say, I don't know, there's a bigger part of me going, Jesus, should you just be going to your bank and withdrawing a few hundred quid so you have a few bob in cash? Yeah. But like, even Electric Picnic this year is cashless.
The NCT has gone cashless. You can't even leave a sneaky tenner by the gearbox to pass your NCT. That's a joke before anyone says that. But the NCT knows they're all cards. You have to pay with your card and everything. Like, I saw that somewhere today. Yeah, so everywhere.
Like, I
don't
like it, actually.
Down here, Live at the Marquee down here was completely cashless. Card only. And you were saying Electric Picnic. So all these big,
it's
huge festivals, like cashless. I mean,
it's up to the only way you get away from it is to actually go withdraw some cash and you know, push against it. But I suppose we're all making it so easy for society to become cashless because we're just mindlessly kind of
I'm the same and you're the same. Like, it's easy for me to stay here now and give out about it, but if I open my purse below, I'd say if I have a fiver event and the rest is my card, or that the worst thing you ever get is you know, it's on your phone and everything now. So you don't even need your card half the time.
Wonder about homeless people. I know, you know, when you see a homeless person sitting outside the garage or wherever they sit, how are they faring out? How is it?
Yeah.
How are they? Because if I was passing and I had a few euro, I would often throw into a cup, but I don't. I walk by now and I'm like, I don't have any cash. When I was in Birmingham with my mom, there was a homeless person and they were walking around with one of them tap machines. They were like playing spoons and stuff like that, and they had a little tap, and people were just kind of laughing and actually tapping them like money. I don't
even. Although, do you know what, Audrey? The churches have them and everything now. When you go into the church, there's the little sum up thing, I swear to God, I had it up on Instagram there. I went in to light a candle, right? Sure, light a candle. That was like 50 cent to light a candle. I was like, oh, my God, Jesus doesn't charge, right? And they have a tap. You can tap if you don't have your cash yet. You can make any donation now, like the basket going around, I'd say, will be gone. It'll be handed
around
the sum up machine.
The Vatican are in
right?
on it now as well. That's it. The Vatican are in on this.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. See? It's higher than us, Audrey. It's higher than us.
It is. The
Illuminati. Oh, for God's sake. What other news was there? Oh, poor old Britney.
Well,
Britney's getting a divorce. Again.
It's only her second divorce. Well, her third
one. Third, isn't it? Yeah, after men. But you can't come to him.
She's
got
only married for 5 minutes. Look, we've all had a heavy night out.
That's true, yeah. But your man that she was married to this time, Sam, I actually thought he was all right. I followed him on Instagram and all. And I was looking at it going, oh, he seems fairly normal now. Like, but it was rare that they were kind of together, like on Instagram anyway, as if I know Brittany, like, but like she always seemed a little bit, you know, all these dancing videos and all the rest, like she still seems a bit, you know.
Oh, well, look, Brittany has mental health issues. Yeah. There's no two ways about that. I couldn't diagnose her. I wouldn't have a clue what to diagnose her with, but she has problems. She has difficulties for sure. So,
but she's just constantly been exploited, like.
How could they even be in a proper relationship when she does so visibly have some mental health issues? I don't know. Was he taking advantage of her from the outset?
I don't know, because he's around 6 years and they have been kind of fairly quiet. Well, most of that time, I suppose, was because of the conservatorship. And then when that's finished with, maybe she went a bit more wild, maybe, I don't know. But like they were literally divorced, or they announced their divorce. He came on his Instagram saying, you know, it wasn't a bad statement. It was just, you know, shit happens, we're getting divorced. But like, she's very erratic then, because she had up her dancing videos. And then the next video was her out at her friend's house, which was a fella, and he's like licking her boots and licking her legs and all this. And there's about five fellas holding her up over a pool and stuff. And
what? There was paparazzi
pictures. Oh yeah, there's paparazzi
pictures. I saw
pictures
paparazzi
of her.
Pictures of her at a garage.
Yeah.
She was giving out, I think she said she met a friend for chicken, but it must have been the friend that took those particular photos is what I gathered from.
Yeah, because she couldn't figure out how the paparazzi knew where she was and all this. But like, none of those people are her friends, I'd say. Do you know what I mean?
That must be an awful lonely life.
Yeah, because everyone was saying, you know, the conspiracy, oh, it's not really Britney and all. And they were saying that, you know, these pictures are real, like that is definitely her.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just feel that she's been totally exploited for years with her family. And now your man as well, because he's looking for spousal support and legal
and
fees.
Apparently the prenup was pretty ironclad and they would have had to be married at least 2 years in order for him to get any kind of financial settlement at all. So they're only married, I think, is it 14 months or something? And so he won't get anything. Now he's trying to argue the toss, but apparently no, her prenup was pretty solid.
Hopefully,
can you
anyway.
Imagine being where you can't trust anyone? Anyone showing you even an ounce of kindness and you have to question it because do they have ulterior motives? That must be awful.
But I hope she has people in her corner, like, because from outsiders looking at it, it doesn't look like there's anyone kind of looking after her best interests, like, do you know what I mean?
No,
and
it really doesn't. And then, like, the people you're supposed to be able to rely on is her family.
Yeah.
She can't, so she doesn't. And then she doesn't have much of a relationship now with her own boys because they seem to be with the father. So it must be very confusing and very, very
and
sad.
Lonely.
Just really, really sad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You can come on the podcast with us. We look after
it. Yeah, Brittany, we'll mind you. We'll drop us an email there, all at the podcast, gmail.com. We'll mind you. And we'll only charge a small fee.
Park your camper van in my garden. That's fine.
You can teach us how to dance. Listen, we're losing the weight. We'll be doing it now soon. Oh, God. God love us. Poor old Brittany, anyway. Poor old Brittany. Do you want to, what were you going to have a chat about there now? About, no, this is very sensible talk now, isn't it? The weather, climate change.
The weather, well, just, I was going through, I sound like such a mental case. What caption are you going to put on this podcast now? I can only imagine what you're going to surmise.
Why does it always rain on me?
Nailed it. You've got it there.
I'm going to call it that one.
Because the weather, I was having mental dreams. And I know it's because of what's in the media. And someone approached me today. I said, oh, it's probably having these crazy dreams because of what's in the media. And they wrote to me, go, why, what's in the media? I was like, do we have the same media? The wildfires, the crazy weather conditions, flooding in some countries, crazy hailstones.
Yeah, but like, Audrey, did you see then there's still people like going off on their holidays to Greece in the middle of all this? And I'm like,
I know.
Hello, do you watch the news? Like,
yeah.
I noticed that, you're kind of going, God almighty, like.
And I'm properly, I said it as a joke, but I swear to God, I'm in my Bear Grylls era. Like, I know you're having a Fitbit era right now. I'm having a Bear Grylls era. I literally walk around, like, identifying danger. I'm like, where are the exits? How will we get out of here if something were to go wrong? I don't know what's going on with me right now. I have, like, an emergency bag in the car with, like, little changes of clothes, and there's plasters in there, and there's a numbing spray. Like, I don't know what the fuck I think is going to happen to us, but whatever it is, I am prepared. Like, I have little emergency scenarios in my head. And then when there was I had a dream the other night that there was a fire, that the house around the corner of my mom's like exploded, and like we were like flooring it in the car like to get past the explosion. And when I look back, I could see some flames near my mom's house. And next thing you know, the next day in real life, I'm in my mom's house going, there was a fucking fire in this house. You'd all leave your shit on the stairs. You'll kill yourself trying to get downstairs to get out of the fire. You need to tidy up. What's the plan? If something were to happen here, how are we all evacuating the area? Sasha says, I get out on the roof. This is the same one now that would have difficulty putting her shoes on. I was like, I'm sorry now, you're pole vaulting up onto the roof. Like, what the hell?
What are you going to do when you're on the roof?
Oh, I don't know, just signal for help. I'm not sure. Like, I was like, what the hell? So, oh no, I'm definitely in a Bear Grylls era, but I know it's because I'm catastrophizing because of
everything
all
that's
of
going
the,
on.
What's
yeah.
in the media. Like,
yeah.
What the hell are we going to do? I don't know. Can we fix this? Like, I do watch it going, can we fix this? Can we do, is there clever things that the sciencey, brainy people can do now to help quell the spread of wildfires? Like, is there...
Because you know what? You worry about it. Like, we should be worried about it now, right? But we're not really worried about it now. I'm worried about it for when my child is older.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when he's, you know, at the age we're at now, that's when you'd worry about it.
Yeah,
so I don't know what we can do about it.
I don't know.
Now we're kind of like, oh, it's happening far away. So, you know, what it will come to us as well at some stage. Like,
well, would you believe it? There's actually been a change in trends whereby we are seeing an increase in tourism here, despite the fact that we're robbing them blind with like a tenner a pint in Temple Bar. We've seen an upsurge in tourists coming to Ireland. They're fine. They'll weather the rain. They don't care. It's safe. Bad weather. They're literally coming to Ireland now because we have what we've called mild or whatever safe weather conditions. They may be shit,
shite.
It might be rainy,
yeah.
It might be dark, it might be whatever, but you're not going to be wildfires, you're not going to see
there's no
floods,
danger.
You're not going to see crazy headstones. So we've actually already started to see an increase in tourism here, and so there's a whole conversation around, I would love to see it as well, but whether we need to literally build, like, you know, the way we've Emerald Park here, or we've Trebalgan or whatever, like, do we need to be building some whopper Universal Studios Irish equivalent bang in the Midlands of Ireland and literally build a tourism theme park hotel site? Because over the next few years, as these wild weather conditions are going to continue across the globe, people will start to come to Ireland and countries like Ireland that have these moderate weather conditions to escape the soaring temperatures, to escape, you know, the stormy conditions. So,
and the joke then is that the Irish people, then people living in Ireland, even can't afford to even go on holidays in
we
Ireland,
won't be
because
able
it's
to afford to go
ridiculous.
to these very
No.
same places. Yeah, I know.
And they're on about now. Everything is going up here, though. I mean, I got a letter there the other day. The mortgage is going up. I think they're on about increasing the tax now for cars as well. Like, if you've a bigger car, like an SUV or something, the tax is gonna, I don't know how much, like, but
an environmental thing for the
SUVs. I don't know, like, because you know, some of the SUVs, like, if you're driving a big tank of a thing, yeah, but some of them are like a 1.6 litre, do you know what I mean? Like, same as what's in a car. So it's not, I don't see why that would be going up. But everything has gone up, though. Like, even grocery shopping stuff, everything has gotten so bloody expensive again, like, hasn't it?
I know. Every time I go in, I get a shock. You think we'd be over the shock, but you're not. Even I find like I when you're trying to eat healthy, I'm sure you've noticed this too, actually. When you're trying to eat fresh and you're trying to eat healthy, the shopping is so expensive. Yeah. And that's so wrong. Like, if you go to the frozen food aisle, you can be picking up pizzas there for like €1.25. Yeah. You can be getting your chicken nuggets or whatever for a couple of euro. But if you go down and you look to purchase fresh, and particularly go down for the fish and the fresh meats, oh my God, it's gone
crazy.
So expensive. It really is, like.
Yeah.
So, God, we sound like owls now, but it's very hard to be healthy in this economic climate. This is a whole story that goes back into the 90s, when it would be poor people in America and the UK, and now more recently Ireland, poor people that would be overweight and obese because the cheaper foods were the processed foods.
Yeah.
The frozen foods, the salty foods, the foods that were full of all the saturated fats and sugars. That's where we're at the moment, because right now, the affordable foods are the foods that are really bad for you, and the good foods are the foods that are going to set you back. So what happens when you're counting the pennies? You're now feeding your children the not most nutritional options because you can't afford them. Like, it's nuts.
And as well,
the dates
drive me bonkers as well. So you're buying all this lovely fresh fruit and veg and everything, and you open your fridge, like, raspberries, don't get me started on them, like, bought a packet only yesterday, opened the fridge this morning, and I can already see they're going feckin' furry. Like,
a bit of mold.
Yeah. And, I hate. And so what I noticed before, because, you know, I'm sure I thought it was like the Celtic Tiger Queen, I'd be like, oh, it's gone off. Ah, put it in the bin. Ah, put it in the bin. I can nearly start crying now when I'm putting stuff in the bin. I'm like, that's such a waste. You may as well have a tenner in your hand.
I get really angry about it as well.
And feck it in the bin. That's the way I look at it. I'm going, such a waste. Like, it really is. Like, it's such a waste. But sure.
They say there's a new little upsurge. Well, it's a Dublin thing. I think maybe more. But I have a little back garden. Nothing. I mean, a square little back garden. Mm. People are actually starting to put little vegetable patches in their back gardens, truthfully, to feed their bloody families.
Yeah.
So they have a little car patch or whatever the case may be out the back garden, and they're like, isn't that mad? No, they're not just doing it for fun. It's not a hobby. It's not like, oh, this is a
cute thing. Because it is a necessity now, though.
A cost-saving measure. Like, so people are having little fruit and veg vegetable patches in their own gardens to feed.
Isn't it awful? And no matter how hard you work and everything, and you could have, there's people out there with like two jobs and everything, and it's sometimes everything just seems to be a bloody struggle. Like, do you know what I mean? Oh. Nothing comes easy anymore. Like, you really have to, like, even like I don't plan ahead or think about it, but I'm very conscious that Christmas is kind of close. And I'm always just full of shite talk, right? And I was going, I'm going to start buying stuff now and putting it away and doing this. I won't ever do it.
I've never.
But I think of it.
Every year I say it, but I never do it.
Every January I go, I'm going to buy stuff now for next Christmas. I never do it.
When I was listening to people talking about their, I think there's two kinds of people. There was a girl that I worked with years and years ago, and every year she used to go to the credit union at Christmas, and she used to take a loan for a grand and a half. Now, she had no kids around. This was a girl. She used to take out a loan for a grand and a half. A couple of weeks before Christmas, she'd buy everybody's presents. That would do the Christmas for her, like, as in all the presents. I think she probably brought food into the house. She, whatever, enjoyed her Christmas. And then she'd pay it back during the year. And then the next year she'd do the same. I'd be like her. I'd be a divil. I'd be like the loan culture person. So I'll get a loan and I'll pay it back.
Yeah.
Your man Owen McGee and all these people, they would crucify me, because I'm just like, I'll just get another loan and then I'll pay it back weekly. And never known. Oh, so that grand and a half probably cost you $2,000.
Yeah.
I don't think about that.
I'm God. Like, yeah. I never think about that, the interest. No. I'm all like, oh my God, it's only €20 a week. Like,
if €20 a week alone. And isn't this great? And I have no stress, and everybody got their Christmas present that they wanted, and that grand and a half cost you $2,000.
Yeah. It's like a car finance. You know, when you hire purchase a car.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know this, right, is because I was here the other day and I was going, I'm sure my car loan is nearly up. So I rooted out of the filing cabinet. I rooted out the agreement, you know, the hire purchase agreement. I said, you know what? I can't remember the date that I'd finished it. So I said, I'll give him a ring. And I was like, hello, I'd like to get a settlement figure there, please. As if I have a couple of grand lying around that I'm going to pay it off, right? The bullshit, you know what I mean? And your one was like, oh yeah, you still have something like 3,000 and I'd left to pay. So I was going, that's not too bad. And I actually went, well, I just go down now and get a credit union loan to pay that loan. And then, like, I'll be down one direct debit. And sure, wouldn't that be great? And then I'm going, like, I need to have a bit of cop on as well sometimes, because I am a bit of an airhead sometimes. Like, in one sense, I think I'm good with finances and on. But on the other hand, I haven't a fiddler's fart what date stuff comes out of my account. Everything. Like, genuinely, I said this before, there's a couple of times a month where I go, oh, I'm after being scammed. And I'm not. It's myself, like. It genuinely is myself, or I forget direct debit. But, like, you think at this hour of my life now that I'd be after copping on a bit, like.
No, Lorna, that's why when I was listening in work the other day and they were talking about this credit union budgeting account where they put in, and I honestly thought they were gaslighting me. I was just sitting there going, are these all in on the joke that I'm not in on? Like, what are they all talking about? Because I'm the opposite. So I do think there's two kinds of people. There's us that just take loans and they're like, £20 a week, la 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 la. Or then there's other people that are like, I will save that £20 every week and then I will pull from my own savings.
Oh no, because I want it now. I don't want to wait. Like, I want everything now. I'm like, no, sorry, I can't be waiting 2-3 months. No, thank you. I want it now.
I know, the exact same. I wanted a mirror for the down. I just decided I wanted a mirror for my living room. And I went into the shop and your mom was like, we don't have one. You could be waiting 4 weeks. I was like, But no, I got this notion on the way here.
Yeah.
I just took a notion that I want a mirror and I cannot possibly wait 4 weeks.
Sorry, order it. Excuse me? Do you know who I am?
The notion may leave me in 4 weeks and I'm impulsive. And so I must now go to another shop and purchase a mirror from another provider because, God forbid, I should just take a breath and take a moment and think about this. So
you
I
know
just
what?
Went somewhere else and got a mirror somewhere else. Like,
Did you go and get another one?
It's lovely.
Yeah. But you know what? When you get a notion into your head like that, like, it's just, if you want it, you want it. Like Colin, actually, the guy I got up and Doug Garvin about the diet, you know, and he's saying, you know, when you feel like you're going to binge or you feel like, you know, you want a bar of chocolate or something, right? He's like, instead of just going, right, I'm having a bar of chocolate, go get it. He's like, hold off 15 minutes. And if you still feel the same in 15 minutes, go for it. Or hold off half an hour.
They're right, though.
They are right. But I'm like, no, like if
instant
I want it now.
I understand that. I told you, didn't I? I went mad buying dinosaur stuff for Hugh's room and I was so delighted with myself. He's got this gorgeous little sign on the door, brand new duvet, pillow sheets, little mat, put the big, huge, stupid dinosaurs that Santa impulsively purchased for him last Christmas that are so stupid that he can't even play with them. Put them on top of the wardrobe, put all the, oh, look great. And I was like, what do you think? And in fairness, he gave me a reaction. He was like, yeah. And then he's just like, but mommy, I like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now.
Oh,
like,
no.
You bastard.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was basically said, like, sorry, that was the old me. Not
oh,
like
no. And you know what? You know what you're going to do now.
I was like, Googling on Amazon.
I knew it. Yeah. You would be looking at it. Yeah. Yeah.
For fuck's sake. But like.
Oh, God.
That's because I got a notion to do up his room. And I didn't consult the child. I just went and I did it. And then I was like, you know,
I'm going to do what Audrey wants.
Yeah, I know.
Oh God, Asher, look,
this is a very interesting podcast. I feel like this was a bit of therapy in itself. You're asking me, am I going to see a counsellor? I think this is my counsellor.
Hello, that'll be €85, please.
I'll get out a loan.
Send it on to me. So come here, if you want any counselling tips, send in all your problems to olathepodcast@gmail.com. But just once again, we just want to thank everyone for listening and for interacting with us as well. And again, if you've any suggestions or any topics that you would like us to cover, you can contact us via social media or through email. So olathepodcast is our Instagram page. So be sure to drop us a comment or a topic suggestion, and wherever you do listen to the podcast as well, we'd really appreciate it if you could like or even subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I think you can leave a review. Now, we'll only be accepting 5-star reviews. We'll accept any review, but ideally 5-star,
preferably 5-star.
Preferably 5-star. So thanks again for listening, and we will chat to you again next week.
Cool about it.